So we're going tonight to the book of Ephesians. And I was so glad that Dr. Barrett, for the youth camp this summer, chose the book of Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the Ephesian church, that there would be preaching from each of the chapters during the week, and there would be much study on this book. Well, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, we have some very important words. We'll come down to verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 21 as well. The responsibility of believers is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It is not our duty to assert our rights. It is not our duty to somehow realize a positive self-image. It is our duty to submit to God and to submit to God's people, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And now he gets even a little more particular. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular... That's a very important word, particular, in the context, particular. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife, notice singular, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, singular. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we trust that God the Holy Spirit, who filled and inspired the Apostle Paul in writing this letter to the Ephesian church, that he would even give us understanding and give us grace tonight as we ponder some of the great truth that we have read here. Great doctrine is taught in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, the doctrine is applied to the duties of believers. In chapter 4 and verse 1, if you notice there, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Isn't this reminiscent of another therefore that the Apostle Paul gives in that great epistle to the Romans? And he says, therefore, I beseech you, brethren. And here is his therefore and a beseech. Now, you probably didn't beseech anybody today, but maybe you did. A beseech means to urge, to exhort, even to beg the people of God to walk, to live in a worthy and an obedient manner, fulfilling our Christian duties. That is what the apostle is giving us here by the Holy Spirit. In the text that we have read, Paul is urging wives to submit to the leadership of their husbands. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So you ladies can breathe a little easier tonight because we're thinking especially about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. So let us think, how did Christ love the church? Christ loved the church with a special, particular love. That word particular is in verse 33. It is a singular love. It is an exclusive love. You think about that in the context in verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul is not teaching here that a man is to love every woman in the world the same way that he loves his wife. No, that would be immoral. The apostle is rather teaching the Christian husband to love his wife exclusively with a special, singular, particular love. And this is exactly the way that the Lord Jesus Christ loves His church. Out of the great mass of humanity, the Father chose a bride for His Son. From eternity past, before the foundation of the world, the Father chose us in Christ. Back in chapter 1, verse 4, you'll find that. Now this love, God loved us and God chose us not because we were good, nor because we are so lovely or beautiful. No. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, the prophet says, Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Ooh. In love to my soul. And where was my soul? You delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. What does that mean? From the very putrid rottenness of my depravity. You loved me and you delivered me from that. Ezekiel chapter 16, the prophet says, when we were cast out, when we were polluted in our own blood, in saving mercy, he said to us, live! Oh, and when he spoke that word, just as he said, let there be light, there was light. And when he said, live, we lived. Praise His name. When we were children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 tells us, we were children of wrath. We weren't good. We weren't lovely. There wasn't anything appealing about us. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, in our deadness, in our hopelessness, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Oh, what love. Think of the greatness of His love. You can measure greatness by what it cost Him to love us. Look at the sacrifice He made for His bride, the church. Verse 25 says, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. Sounds a little, almost simple in English. He loved us and gave Himself for it. That is, He offered up Himself. He delivered Himself over to the wicked hands that crucified Him. He delivered Himself up for us. He gave Himself to be our sacrifice. And death, He gave Himself to death for us. Greater love hath no man than this. When a man really loves his wife, he will give everything that he has and everything that he is for her. How precious and personal Christ's love is for His people. He took our sins upon Himself, so much so that He called them His very own. Psalm 40 in verse 12, Christ said, and that is very clearly a messianic psalm speaking of Christ and His work. He says, "Lo, I come! In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do Thy will, O God." And He says there in Psalm 40, verse 12, "Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me." Oh, how marvelous that Christ would say, "Our iniquities are His iniquities. Mine iniquities." Oh, how totally the nature of God repudiates sin. And yet, that He not only took her sin upon Him, He was made sin for us. And He recognized our iniquities, calling them His own. Oh, what torture that was for Him to even be brought in the person of the God-man into such an awful, overwhelming contact with sin. He gave up that infinite love that He had had before with the Father for a time in order to bear wrath for us on the tree. Christ loved His church. And how does He love His church? He loves His church in this way. And He loves His church with purpose. If you notice in the verses 26 and 27, both of those verses begin with "that." The little word in Greek here is "hina." And it means "in order that." So Christ loved His church with holy purpose. In order that in this world His church would be sanctified. Verse 26. That He might... Why did He love His church? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. What is His purpose? Not in the world to come. That's later in the next verse. But in this world, it is His purpose to sanctify, to holify, to purify, and to make clean His people. Now, how can that be done? How can you take impure, sinning people and clean them up? How? Look at verse 26. "That He might sanctify." It is the Lord Himself working in us, giving us a will and energizing us to do right and to live right. Philippians 2:3, "For it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Giving us the will and giving us the energizing to do right. But we are still sad, aren't we? When we fail, when we discover sin in our lives. And I would be very daring to say, I don't believe we have to search too hard. We look a little and we discover sin in our lives. And we're sad when we fail. But blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that strive against sin. He hasn't taken us completely away from sin's presence yet. But thank God He's delivered us from the penalty of sin, and also from its dominating and its domineering power. Sin shall not have dominion over you. We're no longer slaves to sin. We still live in a sinful world. And we find, to our disappointment, that we still catch ourselves sinning. But you know, God has a purpose even in that. Couldn't God, who saved wretched sinners, have just taken us right on to glory when He saved us. But He had a purpose. And He has a purpose. Even in leaving us in a fallen world, and even still leaving this microcosm of the world that we have to wrestle with within our own being. What is His purpose in that? His purpose, I believe, is in many ways described in Scriptures, but here's a little of it. It's to keep us humble and to keep us depending on Him and not depending on ourselves because we are so perfect. We are supposed to have some sadness. We're supposed to have some disappointments here. Why? So that we will long, as Paul did, to be delivered from this vile body and to be clothed upon with that sinless body in glory. Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, oh, he was longing to be clothed upon with his house in heaven. Clothed upon. A new outward nature. Not just a new inner nature. He was looking forward to that. And we still have something to look forward to. How are we to be sanctified and to grow in holiness? It is the Lord working in us. Well, how does He do that? He's working on us. He's working in us. With what? Notice there in verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God, He's using. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, is what He uses to cleanse us. So a true child of God has an appetite for the Word of God. We have a desire, even for the sincere milk of the Word, for the bread, for the nourishment, for the meat of the Word. Without the use of the Bible, without reading it, without hearing it, without studying it, without learning it, and applying the Scriptures to our lives, we cannot be holy. I ask you then, do you desire the Word? Do you have any desire for the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby? If you do, this is a grand evidence that you are a true believer in Christ. It is His purpose in this world that we be holy, clean, sanctified people. But there's more. Praise God. After this world. Notice verse 27. That, or in order that, He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. Here's another word there. That Greek word, glorious, can be a glorified church. The glorified church. At last. He is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Wow. Okay, this is speaking about the world to come. Verse 27. In order that He would present His church to Himself a glorious, a glorified church, having no spot, not even a spot, not a wrinkle, or any such thing. He's talking about His bride being gathered at last in glory. A glorious church, a glorified church, a perfected church. No spots. Got any spots in your life? Got any wrinkles in your spiritual life? Got any blemishes? I'm afraid we do. But praise God. His purpose is to present that church at last. Those people who believe that they can have everything now instead of anything later. They're going to have everything now and everything later. That's not what the Scripture is teaching. The Scripture has a that for sanctifying in this world by the Word. And then presenting His church glorified at last. Didn't the Apostle say the same thing in Romans chapter 8? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, dear Christian, we face some disappointments with ourselves. We face disappointments with others as long as we're in this world. This world will not be perfect until Christ comes again and shows himself in all of his glory and in all of his power. Just understand, the world is not going to be absolutely perfect until he that is perfect comes. Not until then will our very bodies be glorified together with him. Then we will be perfect without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Verse 27 is saying, are you longing for that day? Are you hastening forward by faith to the coming day of God, as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:12? We as believers have every reason to long for that day. Because when that day comes, we will know the full enjoyment of the Savior's love to his church in a measure and a manner that we have not yet experienced. So we have a lot as believers to look forward to. And it's because, right back to that very foundation, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a blessing. Praise God. Let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we give Thee praise. We thank Thee for that great love. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for that love that Thou hast for Thy well-beloved Son from all eternity. And we thank Thee, even though Thou art pure spirit with no human nature, gracious Father, and Thou couldst not look in any way on sin with consoling or any kind of approving eyes. We praise Thee that Thou, as the sin-hating God, has loved us in Christ from eternity. Thou hast loved Thy Son and lavished Thy love on Him and thus loved us in Him. We praise Thee, and we give Thee equal praise, O Holy Spirit, that Thou hast come into our experience, and Thou hast spoken that sovereign, saving word, live! O God, we thank Thee for bringing us to life in Christ. Otherwise, we would have perished eternally. Lord, give us thankful hearts for our Savior's sacrifice, the broken body and the shed blood. We pray in His almighty name. Amen. Amen.